You're listening to the Plain Bible Teaching Podcast, where we discuss current events, social issues, religious trends, and noteworthy news from a biblical perspective. Thanks for joining us today.
Thank you for tuning in to the newest episode of the Plain Bible Teaching Podcast. I'm your host, Andy Soker. This episode is being released on September 21st, 2023. And this week we're talking about the prosperity gospel. According to a new study, a growing number of churchgoers believe that if they give more to the church, then God will bless them financially. Well, the Bible does not teach this, but we need to be careful not to dismiss what the Bible says about prosperity when we reject the prosperity gospel. So we're going to talk about all of that here in our episode today. For links to the story we're talking about and other related materials, check out the show notes for this episode at plainbibleteaching.com/podcast/09-21-23. Now for our story this week. Prosperity gospel beliefs on the rise among churchgoers. From Lifeway Research, financial prosperity is a goal for many Americans, and most believe it's God's plan for them too, but that they need to give a little more to ensure that blessing. According to a study from Lifeway Research, 52% of American Protestant churchgoers say their church teaches God will bless them if they give more to their church and charities, with 24% strongly agreeing. This is up from 38% of churchgoers who agreed to a 2017 Lifeway Research study. Additionally, churchgoers are more likely today than in 2017 to believe God wants them to prosper financially, 76% versus 69%, and that they have to do something for God in order to receive material blessings from Him, 45% versus 26%. Later in the article, it says this, "Belief that God wants people to prosper financially is also more common in some religious settings than others. Methodist, 93%, and Restorationist Movement, 88%, are among the most likely to hold this belief. Among those with evangelical beliefs are more likely than those without such beliefs to agree, 80% versus 74%. Now, I believe this is a good topic for us to talk about here on the podcast, but that point there about Restorationist Movement churchgoers, that certainly piqued my interest, given my connection with the Restoration Movement. But I thought it was interesting that that was the second highest group in this survey that supposedly held to these beliefs about the prosperity gospel. So we're going to discuss this in our episode today. And there are four points that I want us to consider. Number one, the prosperity gospel is not the gospel of Christ. Paul warned Timothy about this in 1 Timothy 6, beginning in verse 3. If anyone advocates a different doctrine and does not agree with sound words, those of our Lord Jesus Christ, and with the doctrine conforming to godliness, he is conceited and understands nothing, but he has a morbid interest in controversial questions and disputes about words, out of which arise envy, strife, abusive language, evil suspicions, in constant friction between men of depraved mind and deprived of the truth, who suppose that godliness is a means of gain. So Paul was warning Timothy that there were false teachers who were teaching that godliness is a means of gain. Now, in the context, it's clear he's talking about a means of financial gain, of material prosperity. He says that's not what the gospel is. That is a different message from what the gospel teaches. But that's not to say that there's nothing to be gained from pursuing godliness. But what we gain or what we stand to gain is not what the prosperity gospel advocates think that it is. Notice what Paul went on to say in the verses that followed. But godliness is actually a means of great gain when accompanied by contentment. For we have brought nothing into the world, so we cannot take anything out of it either. If we have food and covering, with these we shall be content. But those who want to get rich fall into temptation and a snare and many foolish and harmful desires, which plunge men into ruin and destruction. For the love of money is a root of all sorts of evil, and some by longing for it have wandered away from the faith and pierced themselves with many griefs. So Paul is explaining here in these verses and other passages as well that the hope of the gospel, there is a gain for godliness, but it is not pertaining to this life. When he talked about the hope of the resurrection in writing to the brethren in Corinth, 1 Corinthians 15:19, he said, "If we have hoped in Christ in this life only, we are of all men most to be pitied." Our hope as Christians is beyond this life. It is in the resurrection and life after our life here. Peter had this to say about our inheritance in 1 Peter chapter 1, verses 3 and 4. "Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who according to his great mercy has caused us to be born again to a living hope through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead, to obtain an inheritance which is imperishable and undefiled and will not fade away, reserved in heaven for you." We have the hope of eternal life. We have hope of life after death. This is the hope of the gospel. The prosperity gospel says, no, your hope is in this life. Your hope is in God blessing you with material things here. We know God blesses us. We'll talk about all that here in just a minute. But the hope of the gospel is not in the things of this life. It is beyond this life. It is in heaven. Our inheritance is reserved in heaven. It is undefiled. It will not fade away. That is the hope of the gospel. The second point is that we need to recognize what the Bible does teach about prosperity. Remember one of those verses that we noticed just a few minutes ago, 1 Timothy 6 and verse 10, where Paul said, "The love of money is a root of all sorts of evil, and some by longing for it have wandered away from the faith and pierced themselves with many griefs." Now, many oversimplify that verse and say that it teaches, or they assume that it teaches, that money itself is the root of all evil. That's not what that passage teaches. That's not what any passage in the Bible teaches. In fact, the Bible teaches that money itself can be a blessing from God. The wise man said in Ecclesiastes 5, verse 19, "Furthermore, as for every man to whom God has given riches and wealth, he has also empowered him to eat from them and to receive his reward and rejoice in his labor. This is the gift of God." Having money is not wrong, but having the wrong attitude toward money is wrong. And incidentally, it does not matter if someone is wealthy or is not wealthy. They can have the wrong attitude toward money. Paul warned about those who want to get rich in 1 Timothy 6 and verse 9. So whether someone has an obscene amount of wealth or someone is in poverty, but they have that love of money, it's still the same attitude, and it's the attitude that we need to guard ourselves against. We cannot have that attitude toward money. But the third point is that faithful Christians can be prosperous. Notice what Paul told Timothy just a few verses after those warnings that we looked at about false teachers who taught that godliness was a means of financial gain, where he reminded Timothy that the love of money was the root of all sorts of evil. Notice what he said just a few verses after that. "Instruct those who are rich in this present world not to be conceited or to fix their hope on the uncertainty of riches, but on God, who richly supplies us with all things to enjoy. Instruct them to do good, to be rich in good works, to be generous and ready to share, storing up for themselves the treasure of a good foundation for the future, so that they may take hold of that which is life indeed." Well, who was Timothy going to deliver those instructions to? He was going to deliver that to Christians. Some of them would be rich. When Paul said, "Instruct those who are rich," he's saying, of those Christians that you are going to be teaching and you're going to pass along these instructions to, there are going to be some who are rich. You are teaching them about this attitude toward their wealth. And today, some Christians are rich. And this is not just about what we, you know, the disclaimer we often give on this, where those of us who live in the United States, we recognize that we have been abundantly blessed in this country, that this is a prosperous country. And it's very easy for us to look at the extremely wealthy people out there and say, well, I don't have what they have, so I'm not rich. Well, that may be true. But the average person who lives in the United States, if they looked at the people or compared themselves with the people who live throughout the rest of the world, we are wealthy. We are rich. We have been abundantly blessed in this country. But even besides that, we need to understand that it is true that we who live in the United States, generally speaking, are, from a material perspective, much better off than a lot of people who live in the world. Even besides that, even when we were just looking at those of us who are in the same country, and we think, well, here are some people who are wealthy. Well, there might be some Christians who, even by that standard, are wealthy. That can happen. But how did they become wealthy? It's not necessarily because of materialism. It's not necessarily because they were greedy or because they neglected spiritual things in order to obtain wealth in this life. Exercising godly principles can lead to financial wealth. Principles like hard work and exercising good stewardship and avoiding costly, sinful activities, not just costly in a spiritual perspective, but from a financial perspective. We avoid so many things that the world just takes for granted. The world just involves themselves in all these sinful activities that not only are wrong, but also cost a lot of money. We avoid those things. And so sometimes following godly principles, just doing that is enough to cause one to prosper financially. Now, it won't happen all the time. Again, that is not the promise of the gospel. But it can happen, and it does happen for some. And so someone being wealthy, particularly someone who is a member of the church, the fact that they are wealthy does not necessarily mean that they had done something wrong or that their attitude is wrong. Then the fourth point. Prosperity can help the work of the church. When the church was first established in the book of Acts, there were brethren who were in need. Well, how were those needs met? Notice what it says in Acts chapter 4, beginning in verse 34. For there was not a needy person among them, for all who were owners of lands or houses would sell them and bring the proceeds of the sales and lay them at the apostles' feet, and they would be distributed to each as any had need. Now Joseph, a Levite of Cyprian birth, who was also called Barnabas by the apostles, which translated means son of encouragement, who owned a tract of land, sold it and brought the money and laid it at the apostles' feet. Some of the early Christians were wealthy enough to be able to sell houses and lands and bring the money to the apostles. Barnabas was one of these individuals, but they brought the money to the apostles in order to help their brethren who were in need. When Paul wrote to the brethren in Corinth about helping needy saints in Jerusalem, he said, "At this present time, your abundance being a supply for their need, so that their abundance also may become a supply for your need, that there may be equality." At that time, they had an abundance, so they were able to help others. They were able to help their brethren who were in need. Today, there are preachers who are supported, congregations whose work is being financed, and needy brethren who are assisted by Christians who have prospered financially, and they are using that prosperity to help their brethren and to further the cause of Christ. Again, this is not the prosperity gospel that says, if you do that, God's going to bless you with even more. That's not what this is. But what we do see in the New Testament, and also we can see it today in the church, you can have wealthy Christians who use their prosperity for good. So in summary, we need to remember that the hope of the gospel is not in this life. It is for eternal life in heaven. And while the Lord does not promise financial prosperity for faithful service, there are times when faithful Christians are blessed with an abundance. And when we see brethren who have an abundance, we should not automatically demonize those brethren or question whether they are truly focused on spiritual things, as they should be, unless, of course, there are other reasons for concern. We shouldn't immediately jump to conclusions and condemn them in our minds for that. But also, if we find ourselves as the ones who have been blessed abundantly, we need to remember those instructions that Paul told Timothy to give to those who are rich. We need to keep our trust in God, not trust in those riches, and then use our blessings for good. That's all for this week. Thank you for listening to the Plain Bible Teaching Podcast. I hope you found this to be interesting, informative, and helpful. For links to the story we talked about and other related materials, visit the show notes for this episode at plainbibleteaching.com/podcast/09-21-23. If you have a moment to rate and review the podcast and share it with others that you think would be interested, that is always appreciated. And if you're listening to this, remember that we also upload video versions of the podcast to the Plain Bible Teaching YouTube channel. So if you prefer to watch this on video, then that option is there for you. And if you are watching this on YouTube, please like this video and subscribe to the channel so you can see other videos that we're posting here. And if you see a news story or have some topic that you think would make for a good discussion here on the podcast, please email that to me at andy@plainbibleteaching.com. Thanks again for listening, and I hope to talk to you again next week.
Thank you for listening to the Plain Bible Teaching Podcast. If you enjoyed this episode, please share it with others. Also, be sure to sign up for the Plain Bible Teaching Weekly Newsletter. This free newsletter will be delivered to your inbox each Friday with articles, podcasts, videos, sermon outlines, and more. Visit plainbibleteaching.com to subscribe today.